Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Everyone, welcome to 2016 with the NRF1 podcast, Norfolk's favourite, pretty much only Formula One podcast. There may be others available, but I think we got there first, probably. I think that only leaves the season's predictions.
One prediction I did think of and I want to make. I thought, let's go big, as I often do. But that was that every team will score at least 1 point.
Oh, that's a good prediction, that, because that doesn't happen. That's a great shout.
With McLaren.
Yeah.
competing in the races.
Yeah, they got points last year. I think Man of the
finish team races first.
Red Bull as well, with their watch engine.
I'm sure that in the right race, with lots of rain.
And a new team.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Good shout.
That's a good one.
I said I'm going big, you know.
It's a good bet.
Yeah.
I wonder what odds you get on it, Carl.
I might request.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to know what odds you get on that.
You know what, even though I hate to say it, I'm going to say Vettel.
Wow, as world champion.
Yeah. Just because.
It's like he's saved this up all winter. I love it.
Well, Carl said don't go for the obvious, so I suppose that almost could be.
Don't blame Kyle. But, well, Kyle.
I mean, I don't know if Hamilton will be on it as much. Rosberg, I'd like to see him do it, but I don't know if he will. Vettel just seems annoying enough to do it, to be honest. So
I'm going to go for the obvious. Lewis Hamilton will win.
That's why he's two-time champion, people. None of this Sebastian Vettel from nowhere.
Can I predict the Constructors' Championship? 1 to 11.
You can do whatever you want,
Kyle. Okay, I'll go for that.
Whoa, 1 to 11.
Yeah.
I thought I was going big.
And I'm going to go 4. Mercedes, Ferrari.
You did do this last year and I think got it hideously wrong. Yeah, probably, so yeah. Just to warn you. Sorry, carry on.
Still 1 though.
You did, yeah, you did.
Mercedes, Ferrari.
Don't just read them in the order they finished last year, Kyle.
I think Red Bull might be better than people think.
No, really?
You can't, yeah.
With their watch.
I'm going to go for Red Bull 3rd, Williams 4th, Force India 5th, McLaren 6th, Renault 7th, no, Toro Rosso 7th, Renault 8th, Haas 9th, Manor 10th, Sauber 11th.
Can I add a prediction, sorry?
Push it.
Haas will score points. Is that acceptable? Yeah?
I think so. Firstly, yeah. I mean, it's not most teams on their first season score
very
points.
Rare for a team in their first season. I mean, I'm thinking back to BAR in 99. They had all the money in the world to throw at it, and it was Tyrrell. And they still couldn't make it. And they had Jack Villeneuve, and they still couldn't make it work.
So is that me now, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, Nico Rosberg is not going to win the world championship. There is no way on this earth he's going to be world champion at the end of the season. And I'll happily be quoted by it. It's just not going to happen.
I'm out. Crash. Somebody hit me in the rear, turn 2, and then somebody hit me in the rear again in turn 3, for sake.
The key events that really kicked off a dramatic week, as you heard at the top of the podcast, with Sebastian Vettel being hit twice by Daniel Kvyat, all off the back of what happened in the previous round in China, when Seb, I think, was looking to make up with Daniel because he felt he'd rather overreacted. It's all kind of turned around since then, hasn't it, Rich?
Yeah, it's still kind of changed a lot. It's kind of understandable when you look at the accident, and I mean, Vettel's radio message was just, part of him you could clear was, you know, he was clearly angry, yet the other half seemed to be just, what's going on, surprised that he's been taken out because it's Formula One and not the British touring cars.
Or stock car racing, which is what it seemed to be.
It was quite interesting as he made his way back to the pits, because I think he was also driving a little moped. He probably thought, yeah, well, at least I get some driving done today. But yeah, obviously he'd seen the incident, went and had a word with Christian Horner, And he was obviously quite sympathetic about, you know, for Vettel, because he kind of gave him a pat on the back and they were chatting quite happily. But I don't know, Kvyat's still a young driver. You know, people make mistakes. He also clearly made a mistake. Did he really need to have Vettel go that crazy? I don't know, but it's understandable, definitely.
I mean, that's the big thing. Jenson Button quoted on how harsh it was. Daniel Kvyat will now race for Toro Rosso for the rest of the season. Max Verstappen will be promoted to drive alongside Daniel Ricciardo. So it's a new car for Max, new engineer he's going to have, and he's also going to have Kvyat's tyre choices for for Spain as well. Has Sebastian Vettel had, as you said, he went over to the pit wall, has he had an influence in the fact that this change has been made? Because it seemed rather harsh otherwise. And the thing that gets me is it actually first opportunity, we can get Max in this car now, let's just get Max in this car because he's pretty good?
Quite possibly, yeah. But I mean, Kvyat's actually had some really good drives, you know.
The last time out, he was on the podium.
I mean, I think he actually earned that seat at Red Bull. You know, and I think just a number of sort of rookie incidents has just caused him to, I think, quite harshly be relegated, really, back to sort of Toro Rosso. I mean, I think if we were looking half a dozen races down the line and we were looking at a similar sort of story, I would say, OK, that's fair enough. But I just think it was just really harsh.
We are in the canteen at Archant Towers in Norwich, hence the echo, but also, doesn't that just give the best sense of perspective for what was an amazing Spanish Grand Prix? So much to talk about. When the incident happened, you just cut it, the cameras cut to the crowd and you had people with their hands over their mouth of, oh my God, what's just happened? I mean, Kyle, what did you make of it?
I completely agreed with the stewards. It was 50-50. Also, it's brilliant. F1 is brilliant like this, and all the stuff afterwards of talking and opinions is brilliant. But, and I don't know if anybody's seen it, but the Anthony Davidson analysis of it, it's well worth watching. Okay. 5 minutes of it, and it's very good.
Can you sort of summarise it a little bit?
This is more, slightly more Rosberg's fault, because of he knew he was in the wrong engine mode and the huge difference in speed. But if you do watch it, they both turn right at exactly the same time. So as Lewis says afterwards, he says the bigger gap was to the right, the inside, so that's why I went, so you can understand why he did that. And then you can understand why Rosberg went to block it. And Hamilton knew that was his only one chance to win that Grand Prix, because we all know how hard it is to overtake in Spain. He had to make the move, it's 50-50, and unfortunately he chose the wrong one. And I got a little bit annoyed with people saying afterwards, well, it's his first lap, it's your teammate, you should stay behind. It's like, they don't pay Lewis Hamilton to £30 million a year to go, oh, I won't go for that move because it's my teammate, I'll stay behind and do it later. He had to take it at that time. And unfortunately, it went wrong. And that's just sometimes that happens.
And when you've got momentum like that, as you're closing up, you really think, this is my chance, so you've got to try and take it. And I mean, if you look at when Anthony Davidson, I saw the little bit he did, and you kind of see on board with Rosberg, and of course he was looking down at the steering wheel making changes. So you kind of think, well, for that split second, he would have taken his eye off his mirrors or anything, so we wouldn't exactly know where the other car is either. So it's,
In real time, it's amazing how quickly it happens. Niki Lauda said immediately after the race he blamed Lewis, didn't he? Yeah. He came out quite stringently about that. I mean, is that fair? Right, should he have been doing that? Niki should know what he's talking about.
He should, but sometimes he doesn't.
It's time for the NRF1 pit stops, and I can assure you there is only one place to start. Which is, of course, at Williams. No, not really. Red Bull. I mean, it's remarkable that we're this far through the podcast and history was made and we haven't even spoken about it, but that was your fault, Carl, because you chose it. But Max Verstappen, the guy who we spoke so long about being drafted in for Daniel Kvyat in that dramatic swap that, as I said at the time, for me was far more about Max than it was about Daniel. Goodness me, Max Verstappen goes and wins the race. He was the first Dutchman ever to lead a Grand Prix on lap 12. And then he went and won the thing. As soon as I was in a car on the way to Merseyside or whatever, as soon as I heard that the two Mercedes had gone out and it was Ricciardo being led by leading and Verstappen was second, I thought, you know what? Max is going to win this. You could just tell. And then when I found out, absolutely nuts. I mean, what is there to say? The guy is the youngest ever Formula One race winner.
Are we that surprised after seeing what he's had the last couple of seasons? We know he's a top driver and he deserved to win the race, really. And if anyone else could have won it other than a British driver, I'll probably say Verstappen. Because, you know, it's just nice to see a young lad of 18 who's only passed a driving test a few months ago suddenly winning Formula One races.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's 30-odd laps he did on the tyres, which we were told beforehand you couldn't do. He had Kimi Raikkonen behind him within 2 seconds for most of that period, and there wasn't a single mistake. He knew when Kimi was going to attack. He just managed it perfectly. And we all know he had the speed, but then he's gone another step by showing his maturity and his management of the race. And that's the stressful position to be in, leading a race. I mean, what he must have been going through, or any other normal 18-year-old would have been going through for the last 30 laps would have been unbelievable, but he just dealt with it perfectly. If they got an engine upgrade, and maybe next year, could he be competing for a championship at 19 years old?
Well, this is it. I mean, Sebastian Vettel won his first race at the age of 21. So, I mean, and then presumably it was probably another 2 or 3 years, wasn't it, until he won his first championship, because he won his first race for Toro Rosso, didn't he? So Max could be breaking all sorts of records. And given, you know, they won't allow anyone to race under 18 anymore, it might be records that don't get broken again. Just craziness.
One thing I did read was someone posted online, just like to remind everybody, a few years ago, a certain Pastor Maldonado won the Spanish Grand Prix. Just, I thought, don't know if they're quite the same, but...
We've got a big elephant in the room that we haven't addressed yet. I'm waving to him. He's German, and he's Nico Rosberg. This is Nico Rosberg, the elephant. There's a pun there somewhere, isn't there? Possibly.
Nico the elephant, back to his trunk. I'm not going to finish.
I can't believe you didn't keep going. No, anyway. Nico Rosberg is not an elephant. He's a racing driver. He held everyone up pretty much all weekend, certainly on the race. He had to let Lewis Hamilton through, effectively, because he was so slow. He had to let through his key rival for the championship because Nico couldn't do it. And then, obviously, Lewis went on and won the race. He pretty much always had a queue behind him. He didn't stop on his marks for the pit stop, which held him up on lap 21. And then he ballsed it up at the line when Nico Hülkenberg overtook him. That was the difference between 6th and 7th. That's the difference between 8 points and 6 points. And now, rather than being 26 points ahead of Lewis, he's 24 points, which is the difference between one race win and not a race win. I mean, to me, everything there summed up exactly why most people would prefer Lewis as a racing driver. Yep.
Look, imagine it like this. Lewis Hamilton wins a world championship driving a Mercedes. It's because Lewis is a world-class racing driver and a multiple-time world champion, and he's one of the best people on the track. Nico Rosberg wins a world championship driving a Mercedes. It's because he's in the right car. That's what people will say. That you could, and I do genuinely believe, you say you plug, we just sung his praises, Ricardo. You take Daniel Ricardo, you plug him into that Merc, he'll win races. Could he win a championship? He's got as much chance as Nico Rosberg has. Put Rosberg in a different car, you don't see the same level of wins that you're seeing out of the moment. He is a product of that car. That, for me, sums up the general opinion about Rosberg whenever I go out and talk about him to people, which does happen occasionally.
He's won the last 3 Monaco Grand Prix. The guy should have been flying around here. I've just thought it was a disgrace, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, for me, for a while, it was like watching Jarno Trulli.
Yes.
Norfolk favourite, Jarno Trulli.
Absolutely. I just think he wasn't comfortable with the conditions. And of course, Monaco in the wet is probably something to be feared quite heavily, because if you make a mistake, there's no runoff really for you, there's a wall. But you just never seemed really on it. And credit to him for letting Hamilton pass, because he could have said, no, I'm not going to let him.
We'll get into that later as well. So,
you know, he could have put his foot down. But to be honest, it shows the big steps I think Mercedes have taken as well, to get their drivers respecting them, because previously I think the drivers have said not happening, but then suddenly this weekend, probably the first time since Ross Brawn was there, we've seen them make a call and they've kind of followed it through.
What happened in Barcelona will have helped that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, last time you went at it hammer and tongs, and look what happened. This time you listened to us, especially on as somewhere where you've got no runoff, and you know you're looking at concrete and steel.
Yeah. Personally, I think Rosberg had a mare of a race. He was slow. He just didn't seem to have that spark that he has had in the past. And I agree that I don't think he is a world class driver in Hamilton's league, but I still think he's definitely in the upper echelons speed wise. He just doesn't have that extra spark that makes a Hamilton or a Senna, you know, or a Schumacher or what have you. But I have to take my hat off to him for actually going, you know, with the team. The Sauber drivers showed a perfect example of what can happen if you ignore team orders.
I think he probably was a little bit embarrassed by his pace early on. I mean, Ricciardo was just pulling 2 seconds a lap on him. And like you said, he probably, as he was going up the hill, you could see this train of cars behind him.
Oh, it's the rest of the grid.
And also, even on, I think it's Thursday morning in free practice, they said the first half an hour, I think just pretty much the Mercedes were out by themselves, and Hamilton was lapping like 2 seconds a lap quicker. And I think that's just a statement from early on. So I'm the boss around here. And even, you look back to last year, the only reason Hamilton came in was because he was 20 seconds ahead of him.
He almost lapped him as well by the end.
He almost lapped him yesterday.
And,
so.
And he got overtaken in the last like 200 metres of the start-finish straight. I mean, that's got to be a real kick in the teeth, isn't it?
Richard, here's one. Pastor Maldonado, he wants a return to Formula One, and Manna are the suggested destination. Christ.
Yeah, one of the teams which is definitely one of the fastest in a straight line, as they were described as like a rocket, I think it was described as earlier in the season. And you think that could actually be a rocket going vertically if Maldonado gets behind the wheel. That's going to be quite dangerous. But I did also see Massa shared a video of his son, and Maldonado was the pit stop man. He was using a handheld vacuum cleaner as the wheel gun. So
good.
Maybe he'll be a pit stop man.
That might actually be how Pastor thinks they're done. I mean, he wasn't very good. That's probably what he thinks they use, in all honesty. Probably thinks it sucks up the brake dust or something. I don't know. Anyway, Pastor, if you're listening, yes, that's what I think of you. That is what I think of you. Keep Pastor out of Formula One. What are we doing? You already got someone like Rio Haryanto. Now, actually, we're a little bit dubious about Rio coming in because we thought, well, he's only in with the money. He's not going to, you know, he's the seat. He's not going to be that good. He's taking it to Wehrlein. I mean, he's really giving Wehrlein something to think about. But who are you going to drop from that team? Wehrlein's shown a huge amount of promise, and Rio brings in the money. Pastor brings in the money. So you're going to drop Wehrlein. He's your legitimate shot at being a competitive racing outfit.
And Mercedes aren't going to like that, of course, because they supply Manna of their engines.
Exactly. They might not even have that option, to be honest, if it is part of the engine deal. Fascinating. Pastor, just keep knocking on the door, Pastor. I would love to see you back in Formula One, because just think of the airtime he'd get.
I would prefer a Heikki Kovalainen return. I could probably give you a number. I'd like to see Kamui Kobayashi back in Formula One. I'd like to see Heikki Kovalainen back in Formula One. I'd like to see Nick Heidfeld back in Formula One. And most of these guys are past it now. I would rather see those guys back in Formula One than Pastor Maldonado, because those guys cared. They mattered. They tried. They were good. Pastor's rubbish.
Quick Nick.
Over Pastor, yes.
Quick Nick over Pastor is like a dinner. Italian dinner.
I don't mind Heidfeld. I thought he was alright.
He was boring, but alright.
Boring, exactly. What you want is crashes.
No, that endangers people.
Yeah, not bad crashes.
Kobayashi, because he had, was it Cowboy Bashi, wasn't it, his nickname? He's not, you know, afraid of a bit of contact.
Exactly, diving down the inside.
He was quick, he could get results. Whereas Maldonado just seemed to get bored and look away and fall onto some ground.
But I will say, he did get a race win. And I don't believe Kobayashi or Heidfeld have ever had a race win. I'm not even sure Heidfeld ever had a finish. But it was like a Kickstarter thing to get Kamui back into Formula One.
Do you think it's still sitting there, like a pot ready to go?
I think he'd probably...
The interest would probably be good on it now.
Too respectful to use it, isn't he, I think. Everyone probably got refunded.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Otherwise, it's just sitting in a pot. Someone's making some money out of it.
I've got more. Jaime Alguersuari. Sebastian Buemi. Bourdais. I'd rather have Bourdais. But yeah, you remember him. Absolutely. I'd rather have Nelson Piquet Crashman Jr. back in Formula One than Pastor Maldonado. And you could pay him to crash. Pastor would do that for free.
What was the first one you said? Who were the first ones you said there?
Jaime Alguersuari.
Yeah, I think he's too busy DJing now. He'd need like decks in his car.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car. What are you playing at?
What about Vern?
Oh, Jev, yeah, rocking. I'd have
him. He'd do that straight out of Formula E.
Absolutely. Well, and he's
I
also
have contacts
Ferrari,
in Formula E. He's
Ferrari,
doing quite well.
Ferrari backup driver, isn't he? Ferrari test driver, Jev.
He is.
He was with the Ferrari team at Monaco. I think it was either Monaco or Spain. I saw him floating around backstage, and they had a little chat with him.
Literally.
Yeah, they had a little. He was not floating, literally.
This is the point now. The last time I saw Frank Williams in the Williams garage, he was standing on a Segway. It was amazing, because normally he's in a wheelchair. He was standing in a sort of a frame with a Segway.
That's brilliant.
I just thought it was fantastic.
Do you think it's taken them this long of owning one of the most technologically advanced outfits on the planet to go, Frank, we could probably do something for you there, mate?
We love this track. Ped loves this track. I do love this track. As much as he loves Pastor Maldonado. More. Which means we need to predict what's going to happen on this track.
I just realised that could be quite an interesting rule. Give each team a joker to play, and that is double points for whatever race.
Don't tell Bernie.
Joker races. Oh, but you have to have like both cars have to finish in the points for it to take effect.
I tell you what, the series.
It's a team joker, not an individual driver joker. Yeah. And that could vault you up the championship. We're going to tweet that.
We'll tweet it.
Because we're changing Formula One, Michael.
Yeah, tweeted F1. The thing is, if they did bring that in, would anyone like us?
Some people might.
Some would.
The teams might.
I might know if people would like the joker rule.
You could have Force India, who have obviously notoriously gone well around Spa. They could say, okay, we'll play ours for Spa. You could have McLaren, who at the minute would do quite well around street circuits where it's a bit slow and not so power efficient. They'd play theirs there. Mercedes would just laugh and do whatever they want. You could have quite a bit of fun.
I think it's a great idea. I quite like it. Oh, God.
Maybe you give it to any teams that don't finish in the top three of the constructors the previous year. Because then you will get it. Like, if you do play it well, you'll be in the top three. That means that Red Bull next year might get to use it, so it'll mix it up a bit.
It's an amazing idea. I love that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll tweet it. We'll do all our tweets. This is why you need to contribute to patreon.com/NRF1. We are changing F1 for the better. And the more people that hear ideas like this, the better Formula One will be for everyone, not just for us in Norfolk. Job done.
Hello, you're with the Baxters here. You're with me, Rich, and my dad's over there as well. Say hi, Dad.
Hello.
Hello. The cars are just lining up on the grid now. We're just waiting for the lights to come on, and it's going to be one of the biggest starts, I think, in the F1 calendar. It's going to be big. And let's see what happens. Last car's in position now. And here we go. Green flag at the back. There's a long wait. A really long wait. I think, oh no, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and go. Oh, Rosberg's made a good start. Oh, Vettel straight in the lead. What? Vettel's leading. Hamilton can't get out to third. Oh, bit of contact. Oh, Rosberg's on the grass. Ah! Oh, and Rosberg's lost like 3-4 places there. And the Red Bull's third going for it. And wow, what a big start that is. And Vettel's already got like a 2-second gap. I think he's loving this. And Rosberg's lost out to Alonso. What a rubbish start he's had. Wow.
Daniel, I've got to break this now. Ricciardo. I had a sudden think about how I'm pronouncing it and my staunch defence of calling him Ricciardo. And I actually checked the Italian pronunciation of his name because, you know, people like Christian Horner have been calling him Ricciardo, and I checked it, and yes, it should be Daniel Ricciardo.
But he calls himself Ricardo.
Which is wrong.
So surely it's his name, so therefore he's right.
But he only says it like that because people in Italy kept saying it wrong. Italy, in Australia, where he grew up, couldn't say it right. And he got sick of telling them. So he changed the pronunciation of his own name because of it. But so it's like a nickname because actually it should be. And as I now know, Ricciardo. So I have been quite staunch and principled in the fact that I want to call him by how his name should be pronounced. Now the problem is how I was pronouncing it was also wrong. So I'm now going to have to call him Daniel Ricciardo. And you have to say it like that as well.
If you put a bit of Italian twang on the end, that's fine.
Yeah, thanks. Like, I will do. Italy's finest.
Hi guys, you're here with me, Rich, again. You actually joined me on lap 68 of the Austrian Grand Prix. Thank you for all the kind words about that little commentary piece from Canada last time. That was good fun. Hope you enjoyed it. This race has been quite big. And now lap 69, Hamilton and Rosberg, there's less than half a second between them. Now they've just gone through turn one down the straight. Hamilton's gaining a little bit into turn two. He has a little look, but he holds back. It's going to be interesting to see how Rosberg defends. It's on a softer tyre, which is really quicker. But Hamilton seems to really have the pace, has the bit between his teeth. And there's nothing between them at all. Really close. Coming down the straight, Hamilton's still looking for it. Come on, get closer. He's still not close enough. Closes right up under braking. hopefully lining himself up. He's going to have DRS down here. So this has got to be the one, the penultimate lap. Bottas has to pull over because he's being lapped. Hamilton gets a bit of a toe, but he's still not close enough to make a move. It's going to be the last lap or nothing, I fear. Okay, they're going on to the last lap now. Heading down the straight, the gap's up to 6 tenths of a second now. Rosberg looks like he's held on. Hamilton's going to be furious because, of course, he's on the soft tyres and Rosberg on the super soft. I think that was a tyre allocation they chose for the weekend, so it's, you know, it's their own fault, but it really shows that Kyle's thing works. But wow, Hamilton out of turn one. Really good. He's looking up the inside. Go on, Lewis. Go on, Lewis. Oh, he's looking around the outside. Oh, Rosberg's held up. Oh, Rosberg's hit him. Rosberg's hit him off. That was payback for Canada. And Hamilton comes on and he's on the grass. And Rosberg's got front wing damage. And he's going to have a puncture, I think. And, oh, he's got no front wing at all, Rosberg. And Hamilton's going to get through. Yes, Hamilton's through. Yes, Rosberg, you That's what you get. Your team win penalties against the Italians. But you can't race. And, oh, there's a yellow flag because Perez is off in the gravel. Right at the end. And I think Verstappen's going to get Rosberg as well. Rosberg went aggressive and he's cost himself. Yeah, Verstappen's through and right behind him, Raikkonen. Yeah, Raikkonen's through. This is why I've said before, Rosberg has got the talent to win the world championship. But there, he's just proven, like Michael says, like all the other guys on the pod say, when it comes to it, right, wheel to wheel, he's not got it. And he cost himself the race there. Hamilton wins. You legend. The Brits may suck at football, well, apart from the Welsh, but we are brilliant at Formula One. And Rosberg right there has just cost himself his own race and he's possibly cost himself the world championship. Wow. Wow. What a race.
Hamilton was booed on the podium for this. What was all that about? Is it a sign of European relations at the moment or something else?
It's being in the German backyard and being a British driver. Yeah.
And in people's eyes, having a coming together with a German driver to go on and then steal the victory. I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's more location than politics, I would say.
Yeah, and also it's a German team as well, isn't it? So, you know, they're going to have a lot of German fans there. They're going to be wanting Mercedes to dominate.
Well, they won the race then. They should all be cheering.
Yeah, but they didn't dominate the race, did they? They came first and fourth. Was it fourth? Yeah. So,
and they could have had a German driver in a German team in first place and they didn't. And that's, you know...
So I don't know. So obviously it's Austria, but you know,
let's be honest. We would do it if you had, for example, if you had McLaren in their heyday, and you had a British driver, and you had a German driver, and the German driver nudged the British driver and then went on to win. We'd be booing. Let's be honest, we would.
As if Sebastian Vettel's ever been booed at Silverstone. How dare you?
I don't think we'd be booing. We're more British. I think we'd be sort of huffing and tutting.
Huffing, shaking our heads. Yeah.
No, not acceptable. No, it's not how it's done.
Especially when you're wearing that waistcoat as well.
Well, yes. For those listeners, if you want to see the waistcoat, please just check out the Facebook page. There's a video on there that we did just before we went live. So
sadly, the connection just broke at the end. So that's how it ends. It wasn't a deliberate cutoff, but you do get to see Ped's stunning attire.
I think DT's shirt broke it. I think that's what it was. You were trying to film DT's jazzy shirt, and I think you broke it.
No comment.
There are a lot of colours going on. My shirt.
Not necessarily in the right order. Just for the record, we are the Norfolk Podcast. We love everything to do with all Formula One. It's not because he's German that I think Nico Rosberg will never win a world championship, because I think he's crap. He's not crap, just not as quick as some of the others.
Doesn't have the killer instinct.
Yeah, the teeth, I think was a word I heard. Quick plugs then. Of course, we would love you to become patrons of our wonderful podcast and help us spread the word. It's in its infancy. Thank you, DT. Good job. I don't deal with words for a living or anything. It's in its infancy at the moment.
It's like, but you were stuck.
Yes.
You needed to sort of just sort of like an old VHS tape when you press pause and they're like Yeah.
I can't imagine how any... I mean, to be honest, Nico Rosberg's doing brilliantly well given that he's a dad now, because if he was like me, his performance would be shocking of becoming a dad, but I guess he can probably afford people to look after his child's. Anyway, I love my child. I don't want anyone to look after him, I'm just saying. Anyway, what's the point? Jesus, baby brain. Patreon, yes, it's in its infancy. Thank you, DT. But we're building it up. We've got a nice little following already and we want you to be a part of it and help us spread the word of this podcast and hear more inane from me and get it out there so that we can spread the NRF F1 word and change Formula One for the better from Norfolk, because we have done that already, I promise you. The page is Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. And of course, iTunes. Give us a rate, give us a review. It's all there on our iTunes page, where you can find all the links on all our normal pages, Twitter at the NRF1, the Facebook page, or you can go on nrf1.uk/is on iTunes. Just got a touch on Ferrari. Sebastian Vettel had a 5-place gearbox penalty and then a tyre blowout. It was all on his birthday as well. Poor old Seb.
Oh, was it his birthday?
It was his birthday. Yeah, 29.
So. Wow. Oh, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
See? We're going to get a reputation as we love Germany.
Well, yeah. I just don't like him. There are plenty of German drivers I do like.
Yeah, I love Germany. I'm off there next week to drink lots of their beer. I'm going to Hamburg.
Very nice.
Yeah. We've just been giving Pascal some love, right? Haven't we? You know, saying fantastic things about Pascal. So, you know, it's not Germans we don't like. It's just douchebags.
Or douchebags.
Oh, Michael, well played, sir.
And to be fair, Rosberg spent a lot of his life in Monaco. And his dad is from Finland anyway.
He wasn't born in Germany, was he?
All right. I feel like we're getting a bit defensive here. But
he's not really German.
He's not really German. Okay.
I did, just to tease the commentary again, I did call him a... Rosberg. So.
Okay, that's fine. I'll probably have to beep it on that. Will I beep t-? Yeah. I guess you'll know by now. No.
Nah.
But then it's quite comic because it'll sound like it's worse. It could sound like, you know, f- because it's not.
You could beep the word that comes after. F-
You could be like, oh, you. F-,
and then beep that, and then people are like, what's worse than. F-?
This is why people listen to our podcast. It's not for the deep Formula One knowledge.
A lot of that out, aren't you?
All of it. And I will love every bit of it. The one issue I really had, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, was the booing of Nico Rosberg on the podium. Now, I didn't like it. Opinions on Nico Rosberg, I don't think he's very good compared to Lewis Hamilton. Let me rephrase that. I don't think he's as good as Lewis Hamilton. I think Lewis is a much better racer. I think if Nico wins a championship, it'll be a kind of a, you know, throw enough at something, eventually it sticks, and that would be this year's driver's title. But that doesn't mean that he should be being booed if he ends up on the podium for having, you know, I know he drove into Lewis in Austria, but that's all right. It was part, we all talked about it and loved it afterwards. You don't then go and boo him. And it just didn't feel like it was very pantomime, because at no point did they then sort of reflect and applaud him either. I just expected more of the British crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. It's not really very sporting, as you would sort of say, but I mean, what probably made it worse is that because they interviewed Lewis first, and he sort of said, you know, it's great, because obviously he got booed in the previous race on the podium. And he says, great that we haven't got
so the seed.
He said, we haven't got any booing. It shows what great fans we had. And then they went to Nico and everybody started booing. And I was just sort of thinking, oh, no. You know, I mean, were they doing that as a bit of a joke because what he said, or were they planning to do that anyway? I don't know, but...
Fair point. Yeah. It's a fair point.
It's quite a British reaction, though, isn't it? It's like, oh, you lot don't boo, do you? It's like, all right then, see this.
So what we actually saw was the best of British humour. Yeah, is that what we're going to say? All right, we'll take that. Caterham's old base at Leafield is for sale. I presume it's still for sale. I haven't seen that it's been sold, but it's all still there. You can find it on the internet, and we'll tweet the links. Basically, as they all ditched it and put the locks on, it's all still there for sale. Shall we buy it? Apparently, they're willing to accept offers in excess of £5.5 million.
How much have we got on Patreon right now?
It's a little short of £5.5 million.
How short?
I mean, sort of 5.499999. A lot of nines.
Oh, right, okay. You'd probably say like a million times short.
A million times short.
That'd be about right, wouldn't it?
Probably. Yeah.
But you've just read Lewis Hamilton's quotes about never giving up.
Never give up.
3 points could be like that, 4 point, whatever it was.
Yeah, yes.
I can echo those. When I was 2, 3, whatever age, I said car. I was saving from that age, dreaming of buying a V8, and then I did it.
Well, how about this? How about everyone now listening to this podcast, and whoever listens to the podcast, whenever you listen to it, tell every single person you know, get on Patreon, and we could fund the world's first publicly funded Formula One team.
Oh my God, now we really will be changing Formula One for the better.
It's almost like a Kickstarter.
I mean, we Can you imagine it? Us moving into that factory. There's nothing in there. I mean, I was thinking my next question was going to be, what would we do with the building? I mean, I was thinking we could do a live podcast for everyone turns up, but you run a Formula One team. It could be the other option.
If we get enough public funding, I think we could. Good. I mean, everyone can take out mortgages and second mortgages, and we'll mortgage our entire financial future and everything. And if we got it, we'd be able to run a Formula One team.
I mean, could we just race your Mustang? Would that be allowed in the Formula?
It's a V8, so probably not.
Josh could be one of our drivers. Kyle's got some experience.
I was hoping I'd get a drive, actually. But yeah, they're probably better.
Be the reserve driver.
I'll do the simulator work. We got a simulator. We did the stuff at the start of the season with Go Racing events in Norwich.
Well, see, there you go.
The other problem is it's not in Norfolk, is it? Maybe we should try and buy the old Hingham site.
Oh, yeah, we should.
I don't know if that's for sale. I'm guessing it might be cheaper than 5.5 million. Maybe we should investigate.
We could just,
Mike Gascoigne, if you're listening, give us a shout.
We could just squat and
circumnavigate the payments and literally just move in.
Yeah, okay, we go.
Well, unfortunately, you wouldn't gain any squatters' rights as the premises has probably never been used as an official domicile before, so.
And that's that. All right, well, we're just putting it out there. If anyone wants to help us fund our own Formula One team, I mean, that escalated quite quickly, I've got to be honest, we'll do it. I think we've got the expertise. I mean, we love Formula One. What could possibly go wrong, Kyle?
So how much do we need then? Probably 100 million?
Well, let's just say 5.5 million to buy the place. Baby and then, yeah.
Baby steps. Let's get the building first, right? And then we'll tackle the other problems.
I think Tony Fernandez, and when he came into Lotus Racing, was planning to do it on 40 million quid. So that's less than 100 million.
That's true.
Pocket change. Compared to what you were saying.
Positivity.
And that's under 50 million quid with the building.
That's all good.
I mean, you know, it's coming down.
If everyone also spends £2 on a Euro Millions ticket and if one person wins 100 million or something, just done.
Oh, and then it would just happen.
Red Bull thing and have two with the same name but one in Spanish.
It's in Italian, isn't it?
I don't know.
We could do it in Spanish if you want.
Well, we could be their third, their cousin team.
We could do the Norfolk.
We could do the Norfolk Red Bull team.
The Norfolk Red Bull team. What would we call it? It'd be like the Ass Red Bull.
Ass Red Bull. Roy Red, innit?
Roy Red Bull.
Roy Red Bull. Everyone listening in Norfolk now hates us.
They should love us. Team Radio. You go from tweaking the rules to making it more stern, or we're going to penalise. Actually, you know what? We're going to scrap it all. Forget it. There's no point. Let's just leave it as it was. Unbelievable.
It kind of seemed like teams are constantly complaining about it, so therefore I went, oh, f*** it. You know, just get on with it. Do what you want. And there's sort of... We were all complaining about it a year ago. It was understandable, like the driver coaching. And then they brought it in and it was a bit too far. But then to say, oh, let's get rid of it. Especially when, like, a couple of races ago, Rosberg got a penalty through it and...
Button.
And that's just completely gone.
So surely those penalties should be rescinded, shouldn't they?
It's a bit unfair, isn't it?
Really unfair. And as you said, the fact they've gone back to the beginning, it's not that they've loosened them. They've literally gone, clearly we shouldn't have bothered in the first place.
I think to me, I've said it before, but it just shows there's just no structure with the FIA, and it's just a weak governing body of a motorsport. And, you know, it's sort of, nothing seems to have really changed, you know. Yet again, they've brought in a potentially sort of rushed decision, and then they've had to make changes to it. And then people aren't happy, so they've gone, we'll just scrap it then, which is not really the answer, you know. I mean, there should be some sort of consultation going on, you know. I mean, surely they can all agree to a set of principles rather than a case of like, well, if you're going to whinge about it, then we'll just get rid of it. It's just useless, which points to a much bigger argument, I think, in my opinion.
I think what the FIA could do with almost is like a fan board.
So, like a podcast, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe just like four people who are big fans of the sport who can report directly to the FIA.
Well, six, seven. We can call more in, Rich. We've got a good sized panel here.
Definitely, and just, you know, who have direct contact with the fans, and they can send their opinions and they can discuss them publicly, and then report to the FIA and say, look, this is what the fans are saying. This is what you should do, because that's what's really important to the sport, isn't it?
This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners.
In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? Which just leaves Pastor of the weekend. Anyone?
I'd like to say, I don't want to sound harsh, but the woman who sung the national anthem on the grid.
Well, I've got that written down here.
Because that was, like, the Italian national anthem is, like, really jolly. Everyone likes to sing along with it. And fun fact, you can name Italian foods as you sing the national anthem.
Do it now or it's not true.
La pizza, la pasta, spaghetti, carbonara.
That'll do.
Wow, do we applaud that? I don't know. Yeah.
But other than that, I quite enjoyed it.
That's not, is it?
Well, it's still bordering on stereotypical, but you know, that's fine. Do we know any? Do you know any more Italian foods? When will you get in gnocchi? Poor Ridge. And as I said, Twitter and Facebook handles are both the same at the NRF1. If you want to get in touch with us, please email us or use all the social media, but you can email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Say your words, get in touch. And if you want to have a rant or a rave on the podcast, you can record your audio. It's dead straightforward, nrf1.uk.
I was just going to add to that, or a sing.
Sing your own stereotypical national anthems. I don't know how the Singapore national anthem goes. I look forward to hearing it again.
I don't know that we should be promoting that, but okay.
The Singapore national anthem. What have you got against
singing our own stereotypical food national anthems?
We'll do a British version as well, just to be fair. About tea and Marmite and
fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
God save the roasted pork, etc.
And buttered crumpets.
And scones with jam. Do, 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 do.
I haven't got anything.
Oh, see? If this isn't the way forward, stroke backwards. No. Nico Rosberg, his third win in a row since the break. Now, Lewis Hamilton had won 6 of the last 7 before that break. So it's very interesting what the summer break has done in terms of the whole momentum. And of course, Nico started by winning the first 4 races at the start of the season. So it's momentum, definitely very much with Nico. He now leads the championship. His first win in Singapore. He's raced 200 Grand Prix now. That was number 200. This could be Nico's year, Steve.
I knew you were going to ask that question. I knew you were going to put us on the spot again.
Wait, that's all I do every week, Steve. I can't believe you haven't cottoned on yet.
It is with him, but just through years and years watching, well, Lewis Hamilton in Formula 1, he always comes back. I mean, at the start of the season, we were sitting here saying, is this going to be Nico's year? You know, and we hummed and hawed about it. And then Lewis goes and wins 7 out of 8 races. And we're all thinking something different. Now it's gone back the other way. There's not that many more races left, so it'll be interesting. But I'm just still not convinced as far as Nico goes, to be honest. I think it could be close. It could be like come down to a lot smaller points than probably it was in 2014, because obviously last year it was a lot more at the end. But I'm still not that convinced, because I know what Hamilton is like. He always comes back with a vengeance.
Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast at the Rush Cutters in Thorpe. We're indoors, we've got incidental music, it's warm, and we've all got lovely beers on the go. So what a wonderful time it is to be alive. Not only that, we of course have a Malaysian Grand Prix of wonderful proportions to discuss too. It really was a cracker. Lewis Hamilton in probably the moment of the season so far, I think. His engine blowing up from the lead of the race, taking him completely out of the points picture. 23-point lead, five races to go. Kyle, is it, speaking as someone who said he'll never win it, is it going to happen?
No. Hamilton still will win it.
I mean, it was a classic engine failure. It led to some iconic images from Lewis with his head in his hands. And I don't know, there's always something slightly comedic about Lewis. Just the fact he went, no, in his car just made me laugh. It's just the way he says things. I don't know. It really shouldn't be, because he was quite clearly distraught.
It wasn't just like he said, the 43 engines, Mercedes engines on the grid, which I don't know if somebody told him that beforehand, but he came up with that quite quickly in an interview. And it only seems to be his... they go wrong. And I mean, obviously he has an equal status with Nico Rosberg, but of all the Mercedes engines, he's probably, you know, he's number one, he's the highest paid, he's the superstar. Surely you'd want to make sure the best engine would go to him. But
as we now know, they've given him all the dodgy mechanics, so maybe not. What a race to talk about. This is episode number 134 of the podcast, round 17 of the Formula One season. Now, Kyle, I remember I asked you this first time out last time. Maybe I'm going to ask you every week. Was this a defining weekend in the Formula One Championship?
I think it was. I kind of thought about it today. I thought, if somebody said there's £100 or whatever figure of money, so you have to put it on Rosberg or Hamilton to win. I think before this weekend, I'd have always said, stick it on Hamilton. I think it's definitely Rosberg is. And I've for the last couple of months said he'll definitely won't win the championship. Probably all year, probably said it as well. But I think he's a clear favourite. I'll say give Hamilton about a 25% chance of winning it this year.
Oh, and then this from the guy who knows his betting odds, who does our betting tips and all sorts. I mean, I speak as someone who did very much say that Nico Rosberg will never be a world champion. That was one of my opening predictions. To be honest, a week after that, I knew once I'd said it, it probably meant he was going to win it this year. And every dog has its day, which is kind of a bit like how it feels so far. What a final to the race we had. We had a livid Sebastian Vettel, who was basically annoyed that Max Verstappen had gone off the track in trying to defend his third place behind the two Mercedes. Vettel couldn't believe it. He felt that when Max went off, even though he never physically went behind Seb, he should have given up the place. That was the order they finished in the race, which led to Sebastian Vettel's radio message. Now, in case you missed what he said, here is what he said. He, Verstappen, is a c**t. Am I the only one, or are you not seeing what I'm seeing? He's just backed me off into Ricciardo. I don't think he said Ricciardo properly, but we'll leave Seb to that. Of course, at that point on the TV, he literally almost got overtaken by Daniel Ricciardo, which was brilliant. Move, for f*** sake. He cut the chicane. He has to give me the position. End of the story. Before, there was a little exchange about Charlie Whiting, who was said to be perfectly fine with Max's tactics. To which Vettel replied, yeah, here's a message to Charlie. F*** off. Honestly, f*** off. And the great thing about the radio message, as you may have heard, was that the beep wasn't quite in the right position to cover the swearing, which we love. I, of course, have done it perfectly and all that. So don't worry, Steve. The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix 2016. Not only that, the end of the 2016 Formula One season, the climax. How on earth is this season going to pan out? We're going to find out really soon. Rich?
Whew.
Yes, I like that. I like that.
That was just rather hot, even though it's really cold at the same time. I don't really know what's going on, but...
that's the excitement of it.
That is, yeah. That's Formula One. The Formula One sweats is what we're going to call it.
The Formula One sweats. Only on the NRF1 podcast. Would anyone come up with the NRF1 sweat? What was it? The Formula One sweats.
Yeah.
Amazing. What else did he say? It's also to say that the current rules in F1 don't let drivers race. And thus came the suggestion that we should move to 2 40-minute races rather than one Grand Prix, which they do in other motorsports.
How are you going to broadcast it? Because you can have, right, there's one 40-minute race. We've now got to give it an hour and a half.
40-minute break. And the grid would be set from the first race for the second.
Because the drivers wouldn't get a break. They'd need to...
you know, calm down, because you know how hot they get when they drive anyway. So I suppose they need a bit of a break, don't they?
Formula One sweats, or they'll pee in their suits, which is what Lewis Hamilton spoke about the other day in an interview. Yeah, apparently all drivers are, you know, they will go to have a wee in their suits. Michael Schumacher, apparently he used to wee every time he got in the car.
Good luck, Chan, was it all?
Well, it worked,
maybe,
didn't it?
Maybe lighter, I don't
know. Yeah, yeah, don't shed that load, and unless your suit starts sucking it up and... then it, yeah, anyway, so okay, well, I don't think we're really in favour of that then, are we? Kyle's just going to leave it at no, which is absolutely fine. A bit on Jenson Button, he said that he had not been drug tested for performance enhancing drugs in 3 to 4 years. And one of the world governing bodies or anti-doping agencies were like, yeah, I'm not really sure that's good. I mean, is it an important thing to have drugs testing in Formula One when, you know, you can't drug test a Mercedes to see if it's, I mean, that is quite performance enhancing in itself.
I was going to say, doesn't it say more about Jenson Button's performance in the last few years that he's not had anyone test him for drugs because he's not really performed that well? That's a bit harsh.
Harsh? But... I don't think it's just Jenson. I think he was trying to raise an issue, Rich. Poor Jenson. And he was a triathlete. And maybe, well, you should have thought he'd have had a drugs test for his triathlon running. That's quite harsh as well, isn't it? We are absolutely not insinuating anything. We love Jenson, and clearly the guy's very talented and very fit.
Maybe they were just secretive and they just took the driver's wee suits after the race and just tested them instead.
Just wrung them out.
Yeah.
Can you test for performance enhancing drugs in sweats? F1 sweats? Is that possible? I'm going to read this all to you, see what you make of this. Race Car Engineering Magazine's Sam Collins. He spoke to Sky Sports after the Brazilian Grand Prix about Max Verstappen's drive. He said, "It's not one of the best drives I've seen. I'm not one of Max's biggest fans. This is a clear understatement. I think he's massively overrated. He's got no finesse to his driving. He gets in the car and it is like a PlayStation game for him. He doesn't really understand what he's doing. I'm on the side of people like Vettel, who just think he's a bit out of control. But in Brazil, some of the moves he made were just sensational. That is one of the best drives I've seen him produce. On the catch he made, just to avoid going into the wall, he said... he just turns up to each corner, whacks on the brakes, and it is crash or make the move. Missing the wall was luck. He got onto the high grip surface on the inside and it came round just at the right moment for him. He did lift the throttle right at the right moment, so it was a bit of talent, bit of luck. But some of the moves he made around the outside on the curbs, that was proper driving, so there is some talent there." I mean, fair play. He's putting it out there. Sky have paid him for his views. Anyone here echo any of that?
I've got three words I can think of. What a...
And don't forget, as usual, you can rate and review us on iTunes. Please do, because that would be lovely, and it will tell iTunes and other people that you think we're all right, which we hope we are. We try our best to do that. nrf1.uk/ is on iTunes. And of course, our mammoth group of patrons, who we love very much, and who are doing a sterling job to help us spread the word. There's a little bit of momentum there in us spreading the word. More listeners than ever to this podcast, boys, and all you out there, we really appreciate it. If you want to become a patron with Patreon and help us spread that word more so we can coin more terms like F1 sweats, then all you need to do is visit patreon.com/nrf1. That's patreon.com/nrf1. Abu Dhabi, yeah, the big news, boys, is right here. Pitbull on Thursday, the Chemical Brothers on Friday, Lionel Richie on Saturday, and Rihanna on Sunday. What a lineup!
Can't wait.
Whoa. I mean, all you need is Craig David, and you got the lot.
Can you fill him in? Right. All right, then, Nico and Lewis, the short story of what is being lined up, it's a 12-point gap. If Nico finishes on the podium, he is world champion. Lewis needs to make up 12 points on him. He needs to win. Nico finish fourth or worst, and then Lewis is champion. But there are other permutations as well. And I think Lewis called it almost impossible odds. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something along those lines. Certainly unlikely. How are we feeling, Steve? Hang on. I'm just going to say that sounded very down, as if, oh... Nico could really win this. And it's not about that. Whoever wins it will probably deserve it.
And you was the man who said that he would never win a championship.
Yeah. Which was obvious from that moment on, wasn't it? It's a big weekend for my integrity as a journalist.
So you could have had three, if you had put three bets on at the start of the year, you could have been quite rich. That could have been one of them, and obviously the other two is political.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, cheers. The final round of the 2016 Formula One World Championship, which of course took place in Abu Dhabi, the deciding round of the World Championship. We'll be discussing the incredible events at Yas Marina. What a weekend to sign off this year's calendar, the likes of which we thought we'd never see. Ferrari making a positive strategy call. Who knew? Nico Rosberg, just as I predicted at the start of the season, is Formula One World Drivers Champion. An incredible effort. Yeah, all right. Well, I did say he would never win it, which does seem to have immediately earmarked the fact that he then went on to win it. Reflecting on it now, for the grit, the guile, for the fact, the perseverance, and he's had a really good season of it, he clearly deserves it. The person who wins it deserves it. Isn't that right, DT?
Yeah, it was interesting watching the race last night, and I wasn't sure what my emotions were going to be when it all when it all finished, and if we ended up with the result that we did end up with. I thought I was going to be quite angry. I thought I was going to be, you know, cause being a Lewis Hamilton fan, I wanted him to win, but actually I wasn't upset, and I quite liked the way that Rosberg conducted himself in the race yesterday. He wasn't exciting, but I think he conducted himself really well, and I think he's conducted himself quite well as the way that he celebrated winning the championship and the way that he conducted himself on the podium, etc., all of that stuff. And I'm left thinking, yeah, this is okay. I'm happy with this. You know, I would have preferred Lewis, but I'm happy with it.
He's had probably his best season. If you take the 3 years of Mercedes dominance, Hamilton's won 2-1. That's probably a fair result of where they've been. And to be fair to Nico, many other drivers, for example, Mark Webber, would have fallen apart with a dominant teammate. But he's kept going. He's just taken advantages when they came. And he deserves it. And I think both drivers came out with credit for the season.
There was a tweet basically that went up, and I can't remember, it was from one of the dry autosport or motorsport journalists. They basically said, don't let this cover up the fact it's been a crap season. Now, for me, it was a good season.
Lewis actually summed it up quite well, didn't he, before the race. I think it was part of the Channel 4 coverage, that he said, actually, 2016 has been a bit of a shit year generally. He said, Brexit was crap. He said, Trump is in president. You know, amazing people have died. He said 2016 is just generally a bit of a shit year, really.
I'm sure Nico agrees. Yeah, it's the day for the shit people. There you are, Nico, or Deutschbag, as we called him this season. Oh, we don't mean it.
If you look at the back of the season,
it's a good pun though.
You had the crash in Spain, which is amazing. You also had the last lap collision between them in Austria, which was also amazing.
And Lewis's blowout was incredible drama. Yeah. Max Verstappen winning his first race for Red Bull.
Yeah. I mean, what more do you want from a season?
And what happened in Monaco as well. I think we're all done, aren't we, for this?
Online, on digital radio and TV, and on 94.9 FM.
London's radio station.
BBC Radio London.
It is open for an opinion, and that's what I want. I get the feeling. I've got to get a strong opinion now, a strong discussion, but we like that, don't we, on Drive Time. Michael Bailey is a sports journalist and host of Formula One podcast, NRF1. Are you ready, Michael?
I think so. I'm not sure if I am, to be honest. But
I'm reading the notes here. Look, for sports anoraks amongst us, can you tell us, in your words, what happened?
Yes, I think you had someone who went into the final race of an event of a season trying to do everything in his control to come out as the winner, which is what any sports person would do.
So instead of, if I've got it right, instead of driving as quickly as you can, he drove as slowly as he could. By the way, against team orders, because it is, even though it's one of those weird ones, isn't it? Even though you watch an individual do their best to win a race, it is regarded as a team sport.
You see, I wouldn't say he drove as slowly as possible. He drove tactically, and he drove as slowly as he could while still being able to win. So he just played tactics, basically, okay, and clean tactics.
Right. Fine. That's your opinion, right? And yeah. I'm guessing that, you know, you and I are going to have an interesting conversation about it. I just want to clarify all that we're talking about first. This driving not as quickly as he could, but quick enough to win the race, did it contravene, did it work with the orders that I heard on the radio, and I'm sure you did. What were the orders, sir?
Yes, he did. He did go against his team orders. He did.
So because, the people who were paying him up to £30 million said, "Drive faster," and he did what, sir?
Well, he drove his own race. But when you say that they pay him to be, because he's arguably the best driver on the grid, who's won two world champions for him in the last 2 years.
Invite me to do this podcast, because you're getting me upset already. You know that Jenson Button could drive for Mercedes and win, with all due respect to Jenson Button. The car is what... The cars aren't equal. You know, if they sack him now, they'll get in somebody who can drive that car, and they will still win. You know it, and I know it.
Well, I think they would probably beat the other teams on the grid if they knew what they were doing. Yeah, they would. But then when you've got two people in the same car, it's one against the other, isn't it?
Yeah, so well,
at
I that get
point,
that.
And there's a lot of background in here. I think it's very easy for people to look at it and go, well, Lewis should just do what he's told. But all season, they're promoting the fact that these two drivers are the best in the business. And they're desperate. There's no one more arrogant than a racing driver. And they are solely in there. What drives them is to be the best they can be individually. And you have to appreciate that at this point, Lewis Hamilton had already done the team bit. Mercedes had won the Constructors' Championship. He'd done everything he could months ago, so that Mercedes won the Constructors' Championship with almost twice as many points as anyone else. So he'd done that bit, I think there's a lot of history in here.
No, there is. Michael, stay with us. I'm going to come back to you, because just to remind you of Team Boss saying, this is anarchy, and anarchy doesn't work in any team sport. And I want you to tell me, I'm not sure if you're a dad, but what I say to my child about team sports, about sportsmanship, when he watches nonsense. Yeah, I did say that, nonsense like that. Michael, let me just get a point of view, and I'm getting a feeling that you're going to win this, but that doesn't mean I'm going to give in. Let's go to Barnett in Virginia Water. Barnett, your thoughts on this, please.
Good evening, Eddie. I do entirely agree with Michael, I'm sorry to say. I'll preempt this by saying that I'm actually no fan of Lewis at all, and I don't think necessarily he always presents himself in a way that is in keeping with the sport, but he did nothing wrong. And at the end of the day, you know, he's got petrol in his veins, he's a racer.
Jake in Finn's report, you're not backing me either, are you, Jake? Instead of you winning it, you were hoping, you being Jake and Lewis working together, you were hoping somebody else would lose it.
Well, if I'm being totally honest, I was hoping it was going to be a collision of some sort.
And so was Lewis Hamilton. And that's why it's a subject of my show. How can you... Is that sportsmanship then? Hoping that somebody else has an accident? I'll back down, Jack. I'll back down. Michael, you win this one. No, I mean, you know, I would be as bad a sportsman as Lewis Hamilton as if I were... let me make a prediction to you, sir. We don't know each other. We've never met. But I make a prediction that in years to come, right, he will have to say, I regret very much taking this action.
No way. Not at all. And I'll tell you what, if you look at...
So you buy me a pint if he does.
I would take issue with the fact that he was doing it to cause a collision. I don't think that's true. He was doing it because he needed drivers to finish between him and Nico. There's no suggestion that he wanted an accident. And we've seen it in Formula One in the past where, you know, drivers have just driven into each other to end it.
No. I know. Shoemaker was it.
Like that.
What will the consequences be, do you think?
Pardon, sorry?
What, if any, do you think might be the consequences?
I think he's got a very difficult year next year lined up with Mercedes, because I think there's a complete erosion of trust, not just with him, but I think it goes back all season. There's been issues there. Yeah, so I think that's his biggest issue.
Yeah, and you want those guys and girls in... the engineers and the people who change your wheels and the mechanics, you want them on your... You ain't got them on your side. You ask Jose Mourinho, mate. You haven't got those troops on your side. Then, as my mum would say, Crepo, smoke your pipe. You are not going to do the business. Fun speaking to you, Mike, and I appreciate it very, very much. It's 6:30.
Thanks, Eddie. Members of the train...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.